And that word revival means to revive, bring something back. In order to bring something back, there had to be something alive in the first place. And I'm afraid a lot of people are trying to revive dead things. But a revival can only happen where there's an ember. You know, you can revive a campfire that's gone completely down if you can find one little ember. Throw a little fuel on it, blow on it, the Holy Spirit, blow on it a little bit, and think of puff back up and get going again. And it's the same way in the spiritual life. But where does that breath come from? How do you begin to have a reviving of our spirits? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Now, if he ever saved you, he's the same Savior he was the day he saved you. Yeah. And if he's ever grown you, he's the same Savior that grew you. And so therefore, if we're going to do anything, it's going to have to be through that same Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no new deals. There's no new gimmicks. There's no new ways. It's all him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Malachi 3:6 says the same thing. Exact same words. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there's all kind of new ideas coming out with the invention of the internet and the invention of TV and all these things and all these new ways to revive people. But you know what? None of them's going to work without him. He has to be the center of every bit of it, because he's the one that put the fire in you to start with. And only he can fuel that fire. So I got to think about that. So if we really want to be revived, and in some way we all need revival. Now, I'm not talking about getting, I'm not talking about the experience you had when you got saved. You'll never have that again. I mean, just like you'll never have the experience of being born again physically, you'll never have the born again spirit physically again done. That experience is one time. You're born again one time, and that lights the fire. That lights the fire. Now you can't get that again. And I know it's wonderful. And I know a lot of people travel all over this country seeking to have that experience again. But he says in Hebrews, forgetting those things are past, let us press on. We need to press on in our faith and go on in the faith. And then we'll mature and we'll grow. Now, what we need reviving most of the time is not our salvation. It's our inspiration. Our inspiration needs reviving sometimes. What the thing that inspires you. When you first got saved, you didn't need much. All they had to do to me was start the first few words. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. And when they said this, oh, wow, I fell apart. That was it. I couldn't sing no more. It didn't take much to flame that fire. Amen. It didn't take much to inspire me. They could sing Amazing Grace. I wouldn't make it past the first verse. I just break down weeping. A preacher could preach. He could preach against peanut butter. And I'd break down and I'd just weep and cry. You remember that, Billy, when that preacher preached against bubble gum and peanut butter and tennis shoes? I'm teasing. But whatever he preached, hey, if he was right with God and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he didn't have to say much. He didn't need 7 points in a poem. All he needed to start was the first point, and he had me. Amen. Matter of fact, a lot of times I did like some of you probably do here on Sunday morning. About the third point, I'd say, preacher, if you just quit preaching, I got it. I got it. I'm ready to come down to the altar. Amen. So we don't need our salvation revived. We need our inspiration. So now, where are we going to get the inspiration? Are we going to get through the latest rock band? The latest rap gospel? The latest country gospel? The latest guy with $300 tennis shoes and a $250 haircut and they didn't finish it? Holes in his gym. Where are we going to get our next inspiration from? Well, you got to get it from Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, my words, not word, the thought of it, but every word, my words shall not pass away. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick. That's the old English word, means alive. It don't mean this. It means it's alive. Bite into you quick. You'll see what he's talking about. The word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it'll cut you coming and going, spirit and body, bone and marrow. And so if I'm going to get revived, I need to know where to go to get the inspiration to be revived, not to be saved. I went to a pastor's fellowship one time, and I thought, boy, I'm going to have a good time. It's right over here in town, and a bunch of Southern Baptist pastors, you know, and I don't have any friends as far as preachers. I've outlived all my friends. And so I go over there, and I think, boy, they're going to have breakfast, but they're going to have a sermon. I'm going to get inspired. I'm going to get challenged. And I went in there, and the guy preached on how to be saved and know it. And I looked around there, and I said, who does he think in here is not saved? A room full of pastors. Does he know something the rest of us don't know? I want to say, I'm saved. Would you please inspire me today? Amen. But so what we've got to do, we got to go to his record to be inspired. It's the word of God that inspires us. It's the word of God that works in us. It's the word of God that is our final authority. I don't have a pope, thank God.
Yeah.
No hope in the pope.
That's right.
And that may offend somebody, but that's okay. It's still true. I don't have an associational director. There's not one in the Bible. I don't have a president of my denomination. I don't have a denomination. So where do I go? I have to go to his word. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when I need to increase my faith, what I need? I need the Word of God. Now, I need to know that the Word of God's true. I need to know so I can make it my final authority.
Amen.
Now, I was talking to Rudy back there a while ago about some things, electrical things and stuff like that. I know nothing about that kind of stuff. I don't do plumbing. You'll drown. I don't do electricity. I'll die. He knows that kind of stuff. I don't know. I can drive a nail, I can dig a ditch, I can paint, you know. But there's some things I don't know. So I find somebody I think would be the final authority to talk to. Some of you got machinery work, and some of you worked in the cotton mill and manufacturing and things like that. But everybody knows something that I need to know. So if I need to know how to fix plumbing, I'm going to Rudy. He don't like it, though. I seen him work on plumbing, and he almost lost his religion. But good thing his wife was there to keep him. And, boy, if I need to know how to dig a ditch, then I'll get Rick.
Yeah.
He can dig a ditch. He can lay a brick. I can throw them, he can lay them. And then, but if I want to know something about God and the things of God, where do I go? Well, if I had a pastor, I could go to him and ask him his advice. But, Sister Mary, that still wouldn't be my final authority. Now, son, you're a new Christian. I'll talk to you about anything you want to. But I'm going to try to find out what the Scripture says about it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Doesn't matter what I think or you think. Where is the final authority, Brother Jeffrey, for what we believe and we practice in all matters of faith? It's the Word of God. So if you're going to get a revival, it's going to have to come through the inerrant Word of God.
Yes.
Of course, we all here agree. It's the KJV. There's nothing lasted over 400 years. There's nothing brought. Every great revival was preached out of this book.
That's right.
You'll never find a great revival in America that is preached out of New American Standard Version. Of course, the NIV, the non-inspired version, nothing was ever out of that, you know, and they come up with a new one every day. So you got to decide. Matter of fact, there's a preacher here on the other side of town, and he said, well, I believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I said, that's wonderful. Can you put one in my hands? Well, I believe the Bible. I say, can you put an inerrant Bible in my hands? It has no mistakes. It's without error. He said, no. I said, so you're saying all the English translations have mistakes in them, yeah? I said, why would you say that? He said, they were translated by men.
I said, so you believe God wrote a book, but he can't keep a book. The God that created heaven and earth, he put the sun in space, he put the moon in orbit, he can keep all that together, but he can't write a book and keep it pure and holy. Well, no, I didn't say that. I said, okay, give me one. He said, well, I use the New American Standard. I said, is that the infallible word of God? If it is, I'll take it. He said, well, no, it's got mistakes in it. I said, where would I find one without a mistake? He said, in the original writings. I said, let's go get them. He said, they don't exist anymore. They fell apart. They were made on papyrus, that old paper that's made out of little sticks and pressed together, and they were made on cowhide, and all that's falling apart. I said, well, where are we going to get this book? You said it's infallible and inerrant. He said, well, I guess one don't exist. I said, then you don't have a Bible. If we're going to get saved, we got to know where to get that information from. And if we're going to be revived, we're going to have to know where to get the information on how to blow on those embers and get them to light up again. Amen? So if we're going to have revival, number one, we need a Bible. Amen? Now, revivals come several ways. Turn to Luke 18. I'm almost through. Luke 18. Look at Luke 18. And it would help if I would turn to Luke 18. All right. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. For he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Look at this. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. Even back then. You better watch out, man. Amen. Look at this. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You know what he's saying? If we're going to get something, we're going to have some prevailing prayer. We're going to have prayer nonstop all the time and make it top priority. Now, if you read that in another gospel, you'll see to where this woman had a husband that died, and she was naturally supposed to inherit his property, but her neighbor took a property from her, the man next door, and wouldn't give it to her. And so she went to the judge, and he said, woman, I don't fear God, don't fear man, I ain't got time to mess with you, I'm not listening. And then the next day, there she was again. And the next day, there she was again. I think when he went out to lunch to McDonald's, there she was again. I think when he went down to whatever place he went to shop, by Lowe's, she was standing there at the door when he went out and would not give up until he heard what she had to say. And why can't we pray that way? People used to pray that way. When was the last time you heard of all-night prayer meeting? When was the last time you heard of a prayer meeting? Oh, my goodness. Now, listen, we must pray. Now, you pray by yourself. You can pray in a group, but you must pray. And 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 you must pray. You tired of hearing it? That's the point. And you must pray. And you must pray. And it'll prevail. Eventually, you will get what you're praying about. Revivals don't come by pumping, and I try to pump you people up. I really do. You come in here dragging, look like you lost your best friend, somebody run over your stinking dog and poisoned your cat, and I try to pump you up and get you happy and get you going. Amen? Amen? Amen. But that won't bring revival. You might have a good time, but it won't revive you. It doesn't come by priming. I can't give you a little bit this week and a little bit next week and keep pouring it down that pump until you finally catch on. And it's not going to come by personalities. I don't care who the preacher is I invite. You're not going to have revival until you have prevailing prayer. This week, we need to get off by ourselves, and we need to pray for this preacher and say, God, I don't know him. I don't know what he's going to say, but I want you to speak through him. And God, I want you to zero in right on me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I want him to say, thou art the man.
Yes.
Or thou art the woman. I want it. Look, we want to pray that way. Lord, if there's any hidden sin in me, I want him to reveal it.
Amen.
And Lord, I want to confess it. And I want to be revived. And I want to be better, not bitter. So many people get bitter instead of better. Amen. And so what we've got to do, we've got to pray. Then the next thing we've got to do is Acts 4:31. Real quick. You're listening pretty quick. Acts 4:31. Y'all did enough preaching. We could have went home with your preaching. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now they prayed. The early church, by the way, believed in prayer. They prayed all the time.
Amen.
And when they prayed, look what happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean they got saved. They already had the Holy Spirit, but they were filled with His Spirit. They became overwhelmed. There was so much Spirit poured into them. Look what happens. Look what happens. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. These people claim to know the Bible. They're talking about speaking in tongues and stuff because they got filled with the Spirit and they never witnessed and they never preached the Word and they never shared the Word. They got some Spirit, but it ain't the Spirit they're talking about. Amen. When you get full of the Spirit of God, you're going to say something for God.
That's right.
Amen. It won't be about your latest praise band either.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. When you have revival, you know what brings it? Powerful preaching. Powerful testifying. Powerful witnessing. And that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that He'd fill us with His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
When I got saved, I didn't know anything about church, didn't know anything about church people. I thought everybody that went to church was a Christian. Well, it ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. Amen? Come on, help me. So when I walked into that place, Brother Jeffrey, I was intimidated. Now, I grew up on the south side of Lancaster. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been around a lot of bad people. I mean, I knew people in the KKK. I met the Hells Angels. Yeah, I knew these people. But they didn't scare me anymore because I was part of that group. But when I walked in that church, I was scared of everybody.
Yes, sir.
I was scared of the little old lady. By the way, her last name was Miss Roddy. Miss Roddy cleaned the church, her and her daughter. I was scared to shake her hand. I was scared to shake anybody's hand. So I had two children, and I'd carry them every chance I got, at least one of them, so that when you stuck out your hand, I'd say, my hand was busy. Becky, you did that. And I was carrying them. You know why? I thought those people had God on them. Now don't get me wrong, I felt God. Somebody had God on them. Now I'm sure everybody in there was not sold out to God. I'm sure everybody in there wasn't filled with the Spirit of God, but some were. And there were enough that it frightened me. Now let me tell you something. If we'll pray down the power of the Holy Spirit onto our lives individually. Now, I can't pray it down on you, okay? I can't do that. That's the decision you have to make. But we can go this week and pray, Holy Spirit, fill me.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, fill me so full, it just runs over. Every time I talk to somebody, I start talking about you. It just comes out. And if that'll happen, it don't take but two or three, because he said where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I'll be there and I'll be in the midst and I'll bless. Amen. So if we can get a handful of people
prevailing prayer. Say, God, I'm not going to leave you alone until we have a revival. God, I'm not going to give up until we have a revival. God, I'm not going to quit until you send your Spirit. And then that powerful preaching will bring 2 Chronicles 7:14. And all of you know it, but we're going to read it down to verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11, if you will. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, and he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now he's talking about his people, his land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, but don't quit there, and turn from their wicked ways, then. Now you got to do them all, then. Not just pray, okay? Not just seek his face, but turn from wicked ways and humble ourselves to do that. He said, I will heal their land. Now look at verse 15. Here's the promise. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Yes. If we'll do that prevailing prayer, and if we'll do that powerful preaching and teaching and witnessing, and we'll do that personal purging. We have to purge ourselves. You know what purging means? Get rid of it.
Yes.
You know, you get sick, and whatever made it sick, your body wants to purge it.
Right.
It wants to throw it out and get rid of it. And you know, our spirit wants to throw out the junk we put in it. It makes us sick. We lose our fire, and we lose our emotions, and we lose our love and our compassion, and our embers get cold, and the fire gets colder and colder. I'll never forget, I read this story about this pastor went to see one of his wayward church members lived up in the hills, and it's wintertime, so he went to the man's house, they sat down beside the fireplace, and he's telling the man how much he misses him, and he's out of the will of God, and all these things. And he said, preacher, I don't need you, and I don't need the church to be right with God. He said, well, you see that little ember that popped out from the fireplace laying there on those bricks? He said, yeah. He said, let's just sit here and watch it a while. And they talked a while, you know, and after a while he said, have you looked at the ember lately? And he said, no. He said, look at it. And it was just about gone out. And then the preacher said, you know what to do with that? He said, what? And he got a little bucket, a little shovel, and tossed it back over in the fire. He said, as long as it's in the fire with the rest of them, it'll keep going.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, we need each other.
That's right.
We need each other.
Thank you,
Lord. You didn't save me. You don't keep me. But I need you.
Amen.
And you need each other.
Yes.
And if you get out of the fire, you're going to grow cold. And some people are getting out of the fire and they're getting cold. People wander off. We know that, you know. But what we have to do is I'm not even asking for 5 days. It used to go seven. I'm not even asking for five. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. If we'll get up real close to the fire, we might get fired up ourselves. Now I know you got football practice and cheerleading squad and hamburgers on Monday night down at the hamburger joint and pizza down at the pizza night on Tuesday nights and all this stuff. But can we not just for just a few days, Brother Holroyd, can we not put the cows to bed and come down here and jump in the fire? Amen? Can we not do that? Amen? Some of you young people, you've never experienced a revival. Aren't you curious about what it really is? I'm going to tell you what it really is.
If God falls, sin will flee. There'll be weeping.
Yes.
There'll be repentance. There'll be crying out loud.
Yes.
Sophisticated people will be embarrassed. I've been in them. Now, we can have a series of meetings. He can come preach us some great sermons and nothing happened. We can have a great choir and nothing happened. And still go home and say it's been good. But don't you want an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, heartfelt, Holy Ghost revival?
Yes.
Don't you want those chills to run up down your spine again? Don't you want the hair to stand up on your arm? I've heard people say, well, he got in flesh when he did that. Hey, I've seen some people do some things in the spirit that scared me.
Okay.
Amen. I learned all you can do is look at them and say, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Don't let them get hurt. Now, I'm not saying we're going to come walk the backs of the pews. They're not bolted down. You get hurt. Well, wouldn't you like to see families get right again? Daughter, son, walk over to mom and daddy and hug them, cry and say, please forgive me. I've been in those. Billy, you've been in them. Neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ going to each other and hugging each other's neck and apologizing and loving each other again. Wouldn't you like to see that? Well, it's not going to happen without prevailing prayer, which will bring powerful preaching and personal purging. You know, you don't have to be, there's no works to salvation. But if you're going to have a close walk with God, there's going to be some work sometimes to get that. You know what I'd like to have? I'd like to have such an atmosphere in here this next week that Brother Mary, I called you Brother Mary before. Brother Sister Mary. I'd like for it to get so thick that before the church ever started, people walk in the door and get convicted. You remember those times? Well, I've been there. Amen. Come down to the altar. Quit being so proud. Come down and pray for you youngins, your grand youngins. Hey, weep and cry. Amen. I'd like to get so thick in here, when people walked in the door, they'd start weeping and crying. Some of you never seen that kind of stuff. You know what you'd do? You'd walk out here, you'd feel like you're 50 pounds lighter. You just, woo, woo. And you go down there where you work, and they start talking to the co-worker, and the co-worker would say, what in the world's wrong with you? What have you done? And you'd get talking about Jesus again instead of football. And the Charlotte Knights. And politics. Come on. Let's do it. Now, I want to do something. It's 5 after. It's not that late. I want everybody that would. Now, you don't have to, and I know some people's not able to, but if everybody would, let's gather around this altar tonight, and let's pray for a revival.
Amen.
A real, come on. You men ought to be leading the way. Come on.